Yes, it's called Arunodaya Kirtan. Not going to work today, Virachandra.
Gagane Vedate. Thank you.
when the eastern horizon became tinged with the redness that heralds the rising of the sun, the jewel among the brahmanas, Lord Gaurasundara, immediately awakened. Taking his devotees with him, he journeyed through the towns and villages of Nadia.
Vrindavan resounded with five of five, and the jhalas lodged little cartels that looked like small cymbals. In that kirtan played in time, Lord Gauranga's golden form is slightly resembled trembles in ecstatic love of Godhead, and his foot bells jingled.
Lord Chaitanya called after the townsfolk. You spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. Now just fill your mouth with the holy names, Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, and Hari, chanting your sacrifice.
You have achieved this rare human body. Don't you care for this gift? If you do not worship the darling of Mother Yashoda now, then the great sorrow overthrows you at the time of service. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Why then do you remain idle and do not serve the Lord of God? You should understand this essential fact. Life is temporary and filled with various kinds of miseries. Therefore, carefully take shelter of the holy name and remain always engaged in his service as your eternal occupation. Drink the pure,
just wait.
Drink the pure nectar of the holy name. There is nothing but the name to be had in the 14 worlds. It has filled the soul of Sri Bhakti Vimala Thakur.
Next
there is
one.
Nothing except the holy name.
The holy name of
Sri Krishna
satisfies the soul of
Thakur
Bhakti
Vinoda.
There is nothing except the holy name within all the holy
name.
Okay,
girls,
let somebody else have a go.
The Goranga calls, wake up, souls. He came into this world saying, "Oh my Lord, I will certainly worship you. Having forgotten this promise, you have remained in great ignorance.
I have descended just to save you. Other than myself, who else is your friend?"
I have brought the medicine for destroying the illusion of Maya. Now pray for this Mahamantra and take it.
Thakur Bhaktivinoda fell in the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, and after begging for the holy name, he received that mantra.
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, text number 69. Idam chapata madramba.
Idam chapata madramba.
Actually, it's both. Idam chapata madrambo.
Idam chapata madrambo.
Vishuddha nipanandanaha.
Vishuddha nipanandanaha.
Svadharmam. Anutishtanto
Svardhaman Anutishtanto
Bhagavatyarpitasayaha
Bhagavatyarpitasayaha
Idam Chapata Bhadrambo
Idam Chapata Bhadrambo
Vishuddha Nripanandanaha
Vishuddha Nripanandanaha
Svadharmam Anutishtanto
Svadharmam Anutishtanto
Bhagavatyarpitasayaha
Bhagavatyarpitasayaha
idam japata badram vau
idam japata badram vau
vishuddha nripanandana
vishuddha nripanandana
svadharmam anutishthanto
svadharmam
Bhagavatya Pitasaya
Bhagavatya Pitasaya
Idam
Idam
this
this
Japata
Japata
while
chanting
Padram
Padram
all auspiciousness
all auspiciousness
Vaha
Vaha
all of you
all of you
Vishuddha
Vishuddha
purified
purified
Nripanandanaha
Nripanandanaha
The sons of the king. Swadharmam.
Swadharmam.
One's occupational duties.
One's occupational duties.
Anutishtantaha.
Anutishtantaha.
Executing.
Executing.
Bhagavati.
Bhagavati.
Unto the supreme personality of Godhead.
Unto the supreme personality of Godhead.
Arpita.
Arpita.
Given up.
Given up.
Asayaha.
Asayaha.
Possessing all kinds of faithfulness.
Possessing all kinds of faithfulness.
My dear sons of the king, just execute your occupational duty as kings with a pure heart. Just chant this prayer, fixing your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. That will bring you all good fortune. For the Lord will be very pleased, will be very much pleased with you. Purport. The prayers offered by Lord Shiva are very authoritative and significant. Simply by offering prayers to the Supreme Lord, one can become perfect, even though engaged in his occupational duty. The real purpose of life is to become a devotee of the Lord. It does not matter where one is situated, whether one is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, American, Englishman, Indian, etc. One can execute devotional service anywhere and everywhere in the material existence simply by offering prayers under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is also a prayer, for a prayer addresses the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his name and invokes good fortune by petitioning the Lord to allow one to engage in his devotional service. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra also says, My dear Lord Krishna, my dear Lord Rama, O energy of the Lord, Hare, kindly engage me in your service. Although one may be situated in a lowly position, he can execute devotional service under any circumstance. As stated, ahuitiki pratihata, devotional service cannot be checked by any material condition. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 6. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommended this process. Gyane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti sammukaritam bhavadiya vartam stane stita srutikatam tanuvan manobhiya ye prayaso jita jitopyasi traistri lokyam. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 3. One may remain situated in his own place or in his own occupational duty and still lend his ear to receive the message of the Lord from realized souls. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle, and we are opening centers all over the world to give everyone a chance to hear the message of Lord Krishna in order to go back home, back to Godhead. Gopal, can you lift up there and get me the first canto of the Bhagavatam, please? Om Agyanatimidandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmae Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahe Vidati Svapradantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangunam Gayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinacharinam Who's Lord Shiva speaking to? Anybody remember? The Prajetas, the sons of the king. Nripa Nandanaha. Nripa Nandanaha. Nripa means the king. Nandana means the sons of the king. So, what is Lord Shiva recommending? He's recommending that they chant this sequence of prayers and why does he recommend the chanting of these prayers? Because Bhadram, it's auspicious, Vishuddha, they will be purified. And that it doesn't matter what one's occupational duty is. Swadharaman. You can still, anudishtanto, means you can still perform your occupational duties. So long as they're performed. Actually it's interesting, isn't it? Arpita asayaha. That they're performed offering the results to Bhagavati, right? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, how does Prabhupada analyze this? First of all, he recommends that we offer prayers. Right? It doesn't matter if you're wealthy, poor or in between. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter what your occupational duty is, whether you're a Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmana. None of those things are relevant in that we're all in a relationship with Krishna. We're all in a relationship. We all have a relationship with God based on the spiritual platform, not based on the material platform. So there are no material considerations when it comes to the performance of spiritual activities, because everybody by nature is spiritual. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, we're not the body. Although this is a bit of a conundrum, we're not the body, but we are the body. Right? We can't exist, or our devotional service isn't practically performed, unless we have a body. Right? Especially if we've got a body, the most valuable body, the human form of life. Right? The human form of life is the most valuable form, because in the human form of life, one gets an opportunity to realize one's spiritual identity, that you're not the body, but you need the body. Interesting conundrum, right? We're not the body, but we are the body. This is the Gaudiya Achincha. It's inconceivable. Beda abeda tattva. We're one and different with the body. And of course, we know the body. There are two types of bodies. Anybody know what the two types of bodies are?
Chara.
Yeah, what's that mean? Chara, achara. What does that mean? Moving and not moving. Yeah. Moving and not moving body.
And gross and subtle.
Yeah, gross and subtle bodies. Yeah. So, it's recommended. Just like we're hearing the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he's describing the appeal of Lord Chaitanya, the plea of Lord Chaitanya to the citizens of Navadvip. Wake up. You spend your lives uselessly serving your bodies, decorating your bodies. But that's not the real purpose of life. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't, decorating your bodies means at least you've got to put some clothes on, right? So it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do those things. And that's what's mentioned here. You should still perform your regular activities, but the real purpose of life is to come to an understanding of your spiritual identity. And that's what the human form is, such a rare opportunity. Huh? We know the spirit soul is present when we see the six changes of body, right? Birth, growth, maintenance, production of byproducts, dwindling, and then death. These are where we see that sequence of events taking place in any form, then we know the spirit soul's there. At one point this wood here was undergoing that, but now it's not. So we know there's no spirit soul there anymore. So if you have a body, right, we're given a body, but once that body is gone, you can't get it back again. Right? The nature of material, it has a beginning, it has a middle and an end, and then it's finished. Right? This is why the human form of life is considered to be so valuable, and that not a moment should be wasted, because it is so rare to receive the human form of life and to get the opportunity to make some inquiry into one's identity, except from the gross conception of life, then one should take full advantage of it. Because once it's gone, you cannot get it back. Right? You cannot get it back. Wealthy people think, Prabhupada gives the example, a wealthy man approaches the doctor, he's close to death, he says, please extend my life. Mm-hmm. Huh? Just one more day. But no matter how much money you might spend, the time of death is determined already. It's already. At the time of your birth, your death is already decided. Huh? So, This is a good reason to be to take advantage of the human form of life and use it properly. Doesn't mean we give up everything that we have to do. We shouldn't, and this is the point that's being made here. What is it? Svadharamam anutishtanto bhagavati arpitasayaha. That one should perform one's occupational duty, but give the results, do it in the mood of pleasing Krishna. That this is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, right? What's that verse? What's the verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Patram pushpam phalam toyam. What's the verse after that?
Give me the.
Yat karosi yad ashnasi yad jahosi didati yat tapasyasi kuntaya. What's the last line? Mad arpito, and there's that word arpito, and here it's here arpita, right? Give up, giving up, offer it. It's an offering, right? Everything we do should be done as an offering. Of course, that doesn't mean that we offer things whimsically, right? Our activities should be dharma, dharmic, if you like. Dharma. In other words, there are activities that are recommended. Karma, right? There's karma, vikarma, and akarma, right? So karma means good karma, pious activities, appropriate behavior. Vikarma is inappropriate behavior. So whimsical, inappropriate behavior shouldn't be offered to Krishna, right? And the interesting thing is that karma or pious activities, religious activities, or one's appropriate duties in life, when offered to Krishna, becomes akarma, right? Free from reaction. This is why it's recommended that everything we do, yat karoshi, yat ashnashi, yat jahosi, didasi, yat, whatever we do, whatever we offer, whatever we give away, whatever austerities we perform, it's recommended that we offer them to Krishna. And we can focus that consciousness, or we can fine-tune that consciousness of offering by the recitation of prayer. Right? Now, it's interesting, because Lord Shiva has how many verses? We're up to verse 69. Right, so how many verses here has Lord Shiva presented to the Prachetas? How many? 36 prayers. Right. 36. So, and if some of them are pretty long prayers, so of course, you know, if you recited these prayers every day, you could do it in your sleep after a month, pretty much. Right? But what does Srila Prabhupada say here? And he says it, the real purpose of life is to become a devotee of the Lord. It does not matter where one is situated. And this is why Lord Shiva is recommending, chant these prayers, because you perfect your life. Badram Vishuddha. And because everything is focused ultimately on Krishna here, right? Everything is focused on devotional service. So by reciting these prayers every day, the prachetas will become devotees, right, effectively, right? So what does Prabhupada say? It doesn't matter who you are, or where you're situated, or what your occupational duty is. Yeah. You can do devotional service anywhere in material existence, simply by offering prayers. But then Prabhupada gives a more nuanced definition of chanting prayers, and he says the chanting of Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna and Rama is also a prayer. And so in this way, Prabhupada is informing us, just in case we didn't know, that the chanting of Hare Krishna is authoritative and significant, as Prabhupada mentions in the beginning of the purport, right? It's authoritative and significant. And if we chant the Maha Mantra, just as the prachetas are being encouraged to chant the prayers offered by Lord Shiva, then this will be Bhadram and Vishuddha, right? Auspicious and purifying. That's what happens when you chant Hare Krishna, then your life becomes auspicious and purified. What are the symptoms of that purification? What is a symptom of purification?
You become humble.
Who said that? You become humble. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Peaceful?
Yeah, should become peaceful. What's that?
Detachment from Martha and
attachment. Yeah, certainly attachment to Krishna. And happy, I guess, right? Happy, should become happy.
Chant and be happy.
Yeah, chant and be happy. Prabhupada says chant and be happy. Sometimes we think chant and be miserable. Right? Why are we chant and be miserable? Why does that happen sometimes? We chant and not be happy. Abhadram. Yeah, or offences. Yeah, offences. That's what Dadmiri Maharaj explained the other day. Why do people stop chanting Hare Krishna? Why do they not make progress? Because they're committing offences, various offences, right? Criticise the devotees. Instead of seeing the devotees as great transcendentalists, we only see the faults. Huh?
Fault finding.
Yeah, fault finding. Everybody, and this is a symptom of a Kanishtha Adhikari, why sometimes a Kanishtha is not happy, because he thinks he's the best devotee and everybody else has got problems. When in fact, he's the one who's got the problems. Not respecting Krishna. Hello, Krishna. Thank you. What happened to his nose?
Tripped.
Went for a ride on his nose. Yeah. That reminds me once. When I was a kid, my mum wouldn't let me wear my football boots inside. You know, in those days we had those springs, you know, they were very slippery on the kitchen floor. And, you know, me being the obedient son that I was, I ignored my mum. I was walking on the floor of the kitchen, but the kitchen was very slippery. The sprigs of your boots on the floor, you're slippery, so I fell over. And I landed on the kitchen table on my nose. Right there. Right. And you can still see the scar. Oh, you probably don't want to look. But the scar is still there.
There's no vision of the cartoon.
Huh?
There's no vision of cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it was a bit hanging, so I had to go to the doctor and get this. So, yes, obey your parents, boys and girls. Do what you're told. Took me a while to work out that my mum and dad actually knew more about life than I did. It wasn't until about 40 years of age that I realised my father was actually quite a smart man. So anyway, Bhadram Vishuddha, by regularly chanting Hare Krishna and certainly avoiding offences, right? We can perfect. So Prabhupada, in one sense, he's saying here, the Hare Krishna movement is authoritative and significant because we're following in the footsteps of personalities like Lord Shiva, who's advising his disciples, the Prajetas, to chant, right? And of course, that's what Lord Chaitanya is also doing. Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada's following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. It's interesting because Prabhupada quotes Bhagavatam 1.2.6. Savai Pumsam Paro Dharamo. Right? The topmost occupation. We all have our occupations, but the topmost occupation is to engage in this. The devotional service. And as Prabhupada is saying here, there's no material impediment. It doesn't matter where you were born, what your occupation is, what your status in life is, whether you're a rich man or a poor man. In fact, you know, the devotees are generally poor. This is a bit of a conundrum, right? The Lord Vishnu is full of opulence. His consort is the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. So he lives in opulence. But then his devotees are generally all poor men. This is why people don't want to worship Krishna. Because they know, ooh, this could be dangerous. This could... Look at the devotees of Krishna. They're poor, but they're poor, but they're happy. Right? They're happy. And the worshippers of the demigods, especially the worshippers of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is very poor. That's because he's a devotee, actually. But Lord Shiva is very poor, but his followers are all rich and wealthy. So they all want to worship Lord Shiva. They don't want to go near Krishna or Lord Vishnu. Huh? But the devotees actually don't care. If we're chanting Hare Krishna without offense, without attachment, then the devotees are the most, they're the happiest. They're detached from material acquisition. Right? Material acquisition. So some may say, why does Krishna do that? Why does Krishna take away from the devotees? Well, now, Prabhupada gives the example that the expert physician knows how to treat the ailment of the patient. Right? And so, you know, the doctor doesn't prescribe things for the patient that will not be beneficial for them. So sometimes the doctor says, okay, you have to fast. Right? Or sometimes he even prescribes very bitter medicine. No sweets. Only fasting and bitter medicine. So the patient thinks, oh, why is the doctor punishing me? Right? But you know, if he's to eat rich food and sweets and so forth, it'll just make him sicker, more sick. Right? So it's for the benefit of the patient that he says fasting and bitter medicine. The patient's thinking, oh, why can't I have a good love jama? Huh? Oh, I'd love to have a gulab jamun. But the gulab jamun is not good for you. Huh? So it appears to be punishment. Right? It appears to be punishment. But actually, it's for the benefit of the patient. Good, huh? Huh? Just like the parents will tell the children, don't do this. Huh? Don't go and don't play in the cupboard under the sink. Right? What's in the cupboard under the sink?
Poisons.
The Jasol, the disinfectant, the, you know, anything that you drank, it'll kill you. And she said, why can't I play in the cupboard under the sink? Why am I just like my mum told me, don't wear your football boots in the kitchen. And I was saying, well, I'm going to wear my football boots in the kitchen. What do you know? Now we got the instant karma. Boof. Huh? So, we chant Hare Krishna. Of course, that's a positive thing. And, you know, Prabhupada gives the example. Rupa Goswami gives the example. There are things to do and there are things to give up. Right? Why we chant the 10 offences in the morning. We should, yes, chant Hare Krishna, as is recommended here by Lord Shiva and by Prabhupada. But at the same time, also, we have to be careful about the things that we should avoid. Because, you know, if you chant Hare Krishna, but there's still offences being committed, then you don't get the bhadra. You're still carrying the abhadra in the heart, right? Then Vishuddha, there's some purification, but the Vishuddha, as opposed to just a Shuddha, the intense purification doesn't take place. You know, and so as a consequence, if we don't apply the process with the do's and the don'ts and be very careful about them, then the end result isn't prema bhakti. Right? It's karma mishra or jnana mishra bhakti. Or it's not even that, it's aparad, the opposite of worship and glorification. It becomes offense. Right? It's interesting. And so we have to discriminate between. This is why we have to develop our intelligence, which means our ability to discriminate between that which is positive and that which is negative. And then, you know, the items of surrender is accept the good, reject the bad, or that which is the yama and the niyama of bhakti. Accept the good, reject the inauspicious, or that which will hold back our progress and which is stopping us from relishing. And no, don't mistake the restrictions as being something negative, but embrace them as being positive for our benefit. And then regardless of what one's position is, one can execute bhakti by chanting Hare Krishna, and as Prabhupada mentions here, this invokes good fortune. That's why the devotees don't care if they're wealthy or not, or if there's some struggle. There's always going to be some struggle in life, no? And then by executing this process carefully, one will gradually conquer the unconquerable. This is a verse from Lord Brahma that Prabhupada quotes at the end. Stay in your own place. Keep doing your job or whatever activities you're performing. Of course, you know, you can't be a butcher. There's some things that have to be given up. We have to understand what dharma actually is, our occupational duty. The supreme occupational duty here is to chant Hare Krishna. and our sub-religious principles are, you know, do your job. Go to school. Right? If you're young. If you're older, go to work. Right? And chant Hare Krishna, that's the supreme occupation. And then we have our other occupational duties. And gradually, we'll avoiding the offences, avoiding the negative prohibitions, embracing the positive engagements, will make progress. Very easy. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions? Mahamaji. Yes, the ultimate goal is to become a prema bhakta, which is not very difficult.
Not easy also.
Easy. Prabhupada says easy. But we have to follow his instructions. We don't follow the instructions of the guru. Usually if we're having difficulty in devotional service, it means we're not following the process. Yeah, because the process works. Right? The process works. When we're not following the process, then one has to be introspective to identify what the obstacle is. This is what happened to Vyasadeva. He'd written, you know, he compiled all of the Vedic literature, but he wasn't happy. So then he approached his guru and he said, I'm not happy, what's wrong? And Narada Muni could ascertain what the problem was, and so they therefore then instructed him what to do, right? So that's the purpose of having a spiritual master. Siksha Guru. Right? That's what the Siksha Guru is for. It's to help us identify what are the obstacles and what's the path to removing them. And then we'll, you know, achieve prema. We experience prema every day, pretty much, to a degree, some degree or another.
How to fix the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna? Some hints.
That's a silly question. You know the answer to that. Everybody here knows the answer to that.
We are chanting the holy name.
Yeah.
But how to fix the mind on the lotus feet, particularly? There's a point.
Yeah. Got two ears?
Attention.
Hear the mantra.
Attention.
That's what it's for. Yeah, hear the mantra. That's how you fix the mind. The mind will wander, bring it back to hearing the Maha Mantra. Very simple. Not easy. Why simple particular? But not easy.
Why particularly lotus feet?
Lotus feet?
Why? Only lotus feet.
Why? Well, we were reading the other day. If one has a clear vision of Krishna's lotus feet, then all darkness of ignorance is destroyed. Right? And the first and second cantos of the Bhagavatam are represent the lotus feet of Krishna. This is why the Bhagavatam is so important, because the Bhagavatam reveals Krishna. Right? Why we study the Bhagavatam every day? Because by studying the Bhagavatam every day, Krishna is revealed to us. Why the Srimad Bhagavatam is a source of prema bhakti. Right? Because it abhadra Vidunoti, you know, the Srimbatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, very pious activity, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? It removes the inauspicious things from the heart, so we can always, you know, around about 11 o'clock every day, I reckon, or thereabouts, I often remember what I heard in the Bhagavatam class. Right? So it kind of echoes around in the chamber of one's heart. Or in the mind, we call it the mind. So, a thorough study or a complete study of the first and second cantos of the Bhagavatam should result in Shuddha Bhakti being established within the heart of a devotee. Right? If there are not offences being committed, one's following the process, one has actually understood and absorbed the message of the Bhagavatam in the first and second cantos, then one is... And you see, the lotus feet of Krishna have many wonderful features. And in that verse that we were discussing, the nails, the toenails of Krishna are glowing with transcendental light, right? And so when you're meditating on the lotus feet, and of course that's from the Bhagavatam as well, then your heart, the darkness of ignorance is eradicated by that transcendental light, which is knowledge, right, effectively, right? So it's the beginning of understanding the personality of Godhead. So it is a meditation. We can meditate on that to understand why we meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. It's the beginning of that personal meditation. It is a sign of respect, and so on and so forth.
Our humble position.
Yes.
As a servant, eternal servant.
Yes, as well. That's what we should know from that. And we think, oh, I'm such a wonderful servant. Step aside, you lesser beings. Any other comments or questions?
Can we say that the 19 symbols on the lotus feet of the Lord, you can focus on them so that each of the symbols represents one aspect and which cleanses the heart of the devotee?
Oh, yeah, you could do that, I suppose. Why not? There's so many ways to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. Excuse me. Just chanting Hare Krishna is good. Good start. Hearing the Bhagavatam. You know, the process that we have that Srila Prabhupada has given us is sufficient. And it is a combination of many, many elements. Bhakti is... When I was a very young devotee, I used to be scouring through the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita to find the secret. Where's the secret ingredient? And I realised after some time, all of them are. They're all combined together. They all function in purifying us. There's no real secrets as such. But that's one aspect.
You said earlier on that at birth the death has already been predetermined.
Yes, that's
so
right.
If your death has already been predetermined at birth,
why bother?
Everything else has been predetermined anyway, so no matter what you do, it's already been done for you.
Good question.
And how then, when you know that, what can anything do to change that anyhow?
That's a good question. Very good question. Yes, there is an element of predetermination in everything, but there's also free will, right? And they combine together in wonderful ways. So, for those who are governed by their activities and their their activities are pretty much governed by the reactions of their past karma. But for the devotees, it's different. Right? It is different because and so that statement applies for the those who are engaged in karma and vikarma. But for those who get an opportunity to engage in activities that purify and minimize the reactions of one's past activities, they can become free. Right. So, like I was saying, karma, vikarma, that's good activities that produce good results. Vikarma means activities that give you bad reactions. And then akarma means those activities that are purifying and free us from the results of both good and bad karma. So for those who are engaged in akarma, activities that are basically on the spiritual platform, then for them, then Krishna takes charge. And they can be live longer, live shorter, whatever Krishna wants for them. They're not subject to that rule. But generally speaking, yes, we're subject to the laws of karma, action and reaction. And whilst we may have some element of free will, still our activities are influenced by the laws, the law of karma. And so it means that you're, like Prabhupada would say, death is certain, or as sure as death. So we could look at it in terms of certainly if you were born, you were going to die. Right? But yeah, Prabhupada makes that point. Your death is already determined when you are born. It's in the Shastra also. So we like to think, hang on a second, I've got a choice. Huh? I can choose. But actually our choices are very limited. And they're limited by our previous activities, our karma. How does that sound?
It's complex.
It is complex. Because you've got two conflicting elements.
I find the free will to be the aspect which is the slave driver.
The slave driver? Who's the slave driver?
That freedom, free will.
Yeah.
In fact, it's a paradox.
It is a paradox.
So if I don't have that free will and I'm guided by Krishna or God at every moment, then I don't have anything to be concerned about. But this free will sets me off in different tangents and different directions. It's like sometimes
you have choice.
Whichever way the wind is blowing.
Yes.
And that can be many times in the day.
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah. And so, therefore, we need the power of discrimination to determine what is, in terms of karma or activities, what is productive, or what's called good karma, and what is vikarma, whimsical, or activities that are detrimental for our material benefit. And then we need to also know what is akarma, or actions that are on the spiritual platform, right? And so we have instructions from devotees like Rupa Goswami, who've given us the Upadeshamrita, the negative instruction, which lists, here's what you do, here's what you avoid. Right? So we have then the choice, and we develop our intelligence, or our ability to discriminate, by hearing from the scripture, hearing from the previous acharyas, hearing from our siksha gurus, what is to be chosen and what is to be avoided. It's quite clear. And so, you know, when we're given an opportunity, or when the choice comes up, we're able to say, okay, yes, this is positive. It's part of my duty. It also fits in with with the devotional principles, that's what I choose. Right? And if some opportunity comes up, oh, you know, go down the pub, go down the tab, or whatever else we might, whatever, you choose your, because I'm just giving an example. I don't ever think about going down the pub. But you get the idea. And I say, oh no, that doesn't fit. And so, in the beginning of the 64 items of devotional service, Rupa Goswami explains that first of all, you need to accept a guru, and then you should inquire what one should do, and then he mentions you should then be prepared to accept things that you ordinarily wouldn't want to, and give up things that you might want to keep. Right, so right in the beginning, there's this prescription of choice, or there's this delineation of choice, and then we're given the details of what we should accept because it's karma or akarma, and it rejects vikarma or activities that are not beneficial for you materially or spiritually. So that gets rid of the conundrum, if you like. Right? I don't now need to have to worry about what I do. I've got a checklist here. So, you know, dun, 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 dun. Go to the movies. Is that on the checklist? No. Oh, okay, can't do that.
Shri Prabhupada says, avidya.
Ignorance. Yes.
You do all these silly things because of ignorance. Yeah. We don't know the Shastra.
Yeah.
We don't execute the order of the spiritual master.
Yeah.
And we just want to represent everything.
Yeah.
Because of false ego.
Yeah, false. Well, ignorance is false ego, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.
You said we can do three songs. But
we do what?
Three songs.
Three songs?
But then just part one, part two.
Oh, I said we were going to do three songs.
I think so, yeah.
I think I said we were going to do two songs.
Yeah.
But did I say we were going to do any number of songs? The beat that we were playing is 3-4. Three beats to a bar of four. Does that make sense? When we were singing kirtan, ordinarily, even though we go, that's actually a count of four. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? When we're doing normal kirtan, right? When we're doing 3-4, it's 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Does that make sense?
No. Waltz time.
It is. It's waltz time. But they won't know. These guys won't know what a waltz is. That's something we learnt at high school. These guys, they'll never know what a waltz is, probably. You know what a waltz is, Mahatma?
What is the Christian idea in the
cinema? I don't understand it either.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to know.
Yes.
You know how Ajamil?
Ajamil, yeah.
His lifetime was extended.
Yeah, because he was a devotee.
So
So that's why I mentioned that for a devotee that rule doesn't apply. Actually, that his death is predestined. Although death is, you know, we're all going to die. Yes, I agree with
Gulab Jamun is not good for us if we are sick.
What's
that? You said that Gulab Jamun is not good if
you're sick. No, in that example, the Gulab Jamun is not good for the ill patient.
If
somebody brings you Mahaprasadam, you take it. Yes. But if you're ill and your friends have any concern about your health, they won't bring you a Gulab Jamun if it's not good for you, even though it may be Mahaprasadam. Is that all right? Yes. But you're a young fellow. For you, Gulab Jamuns are healthy at any time. You don't have to worry about it. Okay. Yes, Krishna. He can feel it. He can feel it.
Can we ask?
Death is coming. How do you know if death is coming? Yeah. He's lying on his bed and he can't move. And his heart is failing. Or his liver is failing, or his kidneys are failing, or lungs are failing.
Liver functions.
Yeah. You'll know. When it's time to die, you'll know.
But for a devotee, if he has all this, but will Krishna listen to his calls and give him one more day?
At that stage of life, one will let Krishna do what he likes. If he's a devotee, right? He'll say, Krishna, whatever you want to do to me, it's okay. You can take me now or take me tomorrow or the day after, it's all right. Right? And if for service one more day is appropriate, then he might ask for one more day. Right? Look at the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, then you get the idea. Okay, let's go. Breakfast time. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.